Good morning, church. Good morning. Good to see you. Well, I have some announcements to start right off for you. See, oops, let's get it quiet. Okay, Monday, October 3rd, that's tomorrow. That's the advanced care planning that Jessica was telling us about this. This is session tomorrow night from 6:30 to 8. You can see, I think, check your email for the details on that, but that should be a really beautiful time. Okay, then Tuesday is our prayer meeting. Actually, it's not going to be this Tuesday because there's a pastoral search committee meeting, but sorry about that. Yeah, but please think about joining us in the weeks to come. Then October 5th, wow, we've got a lot this week. That's great. Wednesday is a care team meeting. This is at Jan's home, right? Yep. And that is at 6:30. Then Thursday, we've got the Romans Bible study. That's at 6 p.m. with the Reed family. If you haven't checked it out yet, you really should. And then October 9th, so this is next Sunday, we're going to have another church business meeting. Thank you for joining us on the last one. I was out of town. I missed it. We have a special treat for you this morning, a family missionaries to Africa, and Don will be introducing them. So I think if Bonnie's ready, the children can go to children's church. Is she? Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, yeah. So just stay for the music, and then we'll dismiss you later, kiddos.
Good morning. I'm super excited today. Because my friends, Moses and Lisa, are here. I've been trying to get them here for years, but COVID changed that, and then schedules kept not happening, so they're finally here, and I'm so glad. I kind of always have pictured heaven to be, you know, we're going to always be praising the Lord, and we'll never be tired, and we'll never have to sit down, and our arms will never get tired from being up in the air. And I think that there's going to be, like, different sections of worship, if you've ever been to one of those places where they're having like different concerts at the same time. So like people who like to sing Handel's Messiah will be in one section of heaven. And then people who like want to sing hip hop to Jesus will be in one section. And then there'll be the section of where they're going to hear music today, like what you're going to hear. And that's where I'm going to be most of the time. So Moses is going to let me sing with him, and I'm really excited about that too. So I've known them. Lisa and I figured it out. I've known Lisa for 28 years. And I don't know how much she's going to share about herself, but I'll say a little bit. So Lisa is one of those people that has the awesome testimony of loving and serving the Lord her whole entire life. It's such a blessing to be around people like that. And she came to a point in her life where she said, I want to serve the Lord as a missionary. And so she trained to be a midwife and left us all and went away to Africa. It was very sad, but she sent these wonderful newsletters and emails back about the great things she was doing for the Lord there. And it was wonderful to be able to support her and pray for her and watch that happen. And then one year, she brought this guy back with her. and we had this great American wedding, which was really fun, with a lot of African music in it. And then, like, every year that they come back, they end up having another child with them. So now there's five lovely people in my life to love and watch them serve. So they're going to tell you all about their ministry, but I just wanted to let you know about them. And so Moses and I are going to sing some songs, and these are kind of lively, happy songs, so I'm hoping you're going to join us in all of that. I have a maraca up here. Martha, do you want the maraca? Well, okay, I knew you would. And then Moses is going to share, and Lisa will tell us a little bit about what they're up to over there. They're with Youth with a Mission, which has been around forever. I know in the 1970s I was getting newsletters from Youth with a Mission, which is called YWAM. It's a missionary organization. So, yeah, we'll just get started. You ready, Moses? All right.
Okay. That's what it is. Good morning, everybody. My name is Lisa, as Don already said, and this is my husband, Moses. In French, his real name is Moïse. That's how we say his name in French, but in English it means Moses. So we're happy to be here this morning with all of you, and we have, like Don said, I've known her for a long time, and we've just been really blessed by her inviting us to come and share at her church here, and just feel really honored that you guys have trusted us with worship and a message and sharing about what we do. So thank you for having us. This morning we just wanted to share a little bit about what we do and a little bit of just God's heart for all of us, and so I'm going to let my husband get started on that.
Oh, I was looking the screen here. I see have the song here. And I was like, okay.
Oh, okay. That screen's already up. Perfect.
Okay. Can you come back, please? Little bit. One more time. Good. Okay. So, good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be in the house of God, in the family of God. And we are so grateful that God is giving us the privilege to be here and to share with you guys this morning. And we want to say thank you to the church and thank you to everyone for being here. So this morning we want to talk a bit about let's fill the earth with the knowledge of God. Okay, maybe you may wonder, are you starting your message or are you sharing what you are doing in Togo? So it will be both. So... And this is our family, yeah? So, Lisa, Lydia, Anna, and Grace. I think Grace is still here. And the other one, they are with the kids there. And what we are doing, we are serving as missionary in Togo. Sometimes many people ask me, where is Togo? Is it off behind Michigan or behind West Togo? Say, yeah. Togo is in Africa. West Africa. So
the little red line.
Yeah. Do you see that red line? Yeah, so we are serving on that red line. And so we are serving with YWAM, and maybe you may ask the question, what is YWAM? You know, it's a missionary organization that God raised to reach the nations, you know, just like many other missionary organization that you guys know. So we are committed to preach the gospel and to disciple the nation. And yeah, to right now we are working on a project of offering to everyone the Bible in their mother tongue language, also orally. Mm-hmm. There are many other organizations who are working. We are working with in partnership, and I think they were working even before us, like translating the Bible, but we are putting emphasis on putting it in an oral version, okay? Because many people, they cannot really, like, read everywhere in Africa. But if you put it audio, then they can listen. Oh, Jesus loves me. So, yeah, so YWAM is a missionary. We are almost in every continent. We are in every continent, almost every nation, and yeah. So
we're probably in every nation, just not officially in every nation, because we can't officially be in every nation.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah.
So,
so this is YWAM. If you want to know more about it, I mean, you can Google it, and you will have more information about what YWAM is all about. But it's all about preaching the good news and discipling the nations. Yeah. In every generation. So we are committed for that. So that what are we doing in Togo?
Change the slides.
Oh, when I change here, I'm thinking it's changing there. Yes, but so.
So I'm nodding to him.
Okay.
At the moment, no.
We're good.
It's fine.
Thank you.
I have one monitor here and one behind. So many people, they have never heard about the gospel. Do you know that? We went in one village and we talk about Jesus, and someone said, do you know Jesus? No, maybe it is the chief of the village. What do you call chief? You are the one who supervises. The leader of the village.
The leader, yeah.
They say, like, please go and ask to the leader of the village. Maybe he know when Mr. Jesus lives here. So the person never heard about Jesus. You know, there are many people that never heard about Jesus. And God wants people to hear about the good news. Okay? There are many children who do not have access to education. Are we aware of that? They cannot go to school. So, and this breaks God's heart, because God's heart is saying that every child have the right for education. So, there are many people who do not have the Bible in their mother tongue language. Who does not have the Bible in his or her mother tongue language here?
The language. So for us, a mother tongue language is the language that you were born speaking, like your family spoke to you when you were born. So many people in Africa were born into a tribal language. And then there's a national language. So in Togo, the national language is French. But when you're born, you're not born speaking French usually. You're usually born speaking a different tribal language. Ewe is the language where we serve. And so in school, you will learn French. Or if your parents are well-educated, you might learn it sooner. But generally speaking, you're going to grow up speaking Ewe, and then you will add a language in school that will be the language that might be used in business in the city or different things like that.
Like for me, before I learned English or French, I learned 3 or 4 languages first. So before you can learn the English that people, you know. So, and there are many, many languages without Bible. Do you know how many languages without Bible? Maybe you are not concerned about it. God is concerned. So I think we have some friends here.
You probably know a very close number.
Yeah. So how many do you have in head? I'm on around?
Recently they said
1,892 without the word of God.
In their language, yeah.
And do we want Jesus to come back? When will Jesus come back? So if you want Jesus to come back, what shall we do? We know what to do. Yeah. And give the word of God in their mother tongue language. So there are many people, and God's heart is like, I want all these people to have my word in their mother tongue language. So what are we doing in Togo? We are doing evangelism, trainings, education, and mercy ministry. That's all I want. So we need to reach people. So we train people and we send them onto the mission field, and they go, they preach the gospel, they come back. They can take like 1 week to plant a church. How many weeks do you take here to plant one church? So for them, usually 1 week is enough to plant a church, 1 or 2 weeks. And then many people come to Christ. So it's very interesting. So we may go more in detail about this. So evangelism, yeah, usually, as I was sharing in the beginning, many people, they don't know about Jesus. Now, many people heard about Jesus, but they don't follow him. Right? They heard about him. Like me, I heard about Jesus since I was little, but I was not following Jesus because I was worshiping. I was going to church, but I was worshiping idols and I was worshiping trees. I was worshiping many things. I didn't know about Jesus at all, you know? And so many people, they are like that. They will say, oh, we are Christian, we are believer. But really, they don't really know about Jesus. They heard about him maybe once or twice. So we go in the villages and then we share the good news. And many people give their life to Christ. And most of our training is also about being theoretical and practical. So we train people, we go on the field. We don't need to wait for 3 years or 5 years or 6 years. We have 3 months training. That's enough for us. We go on the field. Are you ready for that? I see some people looking at me. What do you mean, Moses? We may go on the field next week if you are ready. So, so we also do training. So in our base, we have many schools. The first school is what they call. We call the Disciple Training School. So that's 6 months of trainings. 3 months lecture phase, that's enough for us. And every week we have a topic that we study. And then after 3 months, the next 3 months, we spend it on the field preaching the good news for 3 months, day and night. So like the last, you will hear that this DTS is coming back and he say, we preach the gospel. If you like numbers, they will tell you like, 5,000, 3,000, 2,000 people give their life to Christ, you know, for 3 months. And maybe we plant like 3 or 4 churches. That's amazing, you know. So our training, we don't only want to be theoretic, but we want practical. We want to be practical. So we learn and then we go, we apply. So we, after the DTS, we have many other schools, like School of Biblical Study, when people come to study the Bible for 9 months, they need to read their Bible at least 5 times during the 9 months. And they need to do the observation and interpretation and every single verse during the 9 months. Okay? So, and after that, they need to find what is the timeless truth during the 9 months and what they can apply into their life and what they can teach. So, and some people say, oh, 9 months is too much. It's not too much. How many years do you spend going to the high school? Just 9 months here. So, so we have many other schools, like School of Worship, School of Evangelism.
Community Development.
Community Development School.
The heart of YWAM is often the DTS, where students come in and our one of our mottos for YWAM is to know God and to make Him known. So they come in, and those 3 months are spent on them knowing who God is, what He says about them, and what His heart is for the nations. And then equipping that them in those 3 months to be able to go and share that with those outside of the campus, outside of where they've been learning, to go into the villages and share that. And then from DTS, we have the School of Biblical Studies, so we can add into our knowledge the Word of God, so we know it well, so we can represent Him well, so we can share His character accurately. And then we have schools like the School of Worship, where we learn about how to worship God with in spirit and in truth, like what it really is worship. How do we lead worship with God's heart? School of Community Development, how do we bring God's heart for justice and for people to have what they need to the communities, but in a way that who He is impacts them. And it's not just we're fixing things, we're bringing them knowledge of a Savior who can change everything from their hearts to their water situation. And we also have the School of Oral Bible Translation. So people coming to learn, how can we translate the Bible orally? How can I be a part of that? And for some people, it's for a people group that they specifically speak that language, but they know the Bible's not in their language. And other people, they just have a heart to be a part of it, and they can join with other people who can begin that. So we have many schools.
Yeah.
Our base always has a school running. So sometimes several schools running. And so we have students who are there learning. We have worship times together. We have community times together. There's the classes. There's work duty where you get to also practically serve the Lord and serve everyone with cooking and cleaning as well as praying and worshiping. So we just do life together.
Yeah, so YWAM have what we call the University of the Nations. And in the University of the Nation, we have 7 colleges. And in each college, we have many schools. Like the College of Ministry, we have 81 schools. So we cannot talk about all the schools now. That's why I'm saying only in one college you will find 29 courses, and the other one 81, and the other one. So there are many courses. And every college is based on what God spoke to Lauren. Lauren is the founder of YWAM. So 1 year, Lauren heard God speaking to him and telling him that if you want to reach a nation, if you want to influence a nation, there are always 7 spheres, 7 domains that you need to influence. In order to influence a nation, God was talking about education, that you cannot influence a nation if you don't bring Christian education. He was talking about economy, healthcare, science and technology, you know. And he gave all this sphere, and now our colleges is found on this sphere. So in every sphere, we want to reach all the sphere of society. Mm-hmm. So that's why YWAM.
He's already on the education. Yeah.
Okay.
I can talk about this.
Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. So education is something we have a passion for on our base. Both educating people from all over West Africa or beyond to be able to know God and make Him known, but also we live in a community of many small villages, and many of them are living in mud houses with thatch roofs. And they're not close to schools or even clinics, and they're probably going to walk everywhere or have to walk and catch a taxi. And so we have two schools on our base One's an elementary school and one's a middle school. And the children from the surrounding villages can come and be able to go to school and learn to read and to write and to speak French and learn about the Lord. So they get to get a Christian education. They come from a lot of hard circumstances. Many of them walk a really long ways to come. But this is how change starts in a community, is people begin to know the Lord and they begin to learn about this amazing universe that God created and the ways he's made us to live in it. So that is one of the ministries that we do on our base. Mm-hmm. These are the buildings that we have for them to do their school in. Mm-hmm. We did have a really big storm in Togo in March of this year, where it was kind of circular in how it hit. So for some reason, it completely knocked down three buildings yeah. of our school and ripped up part of another one. We are very thankful to God that no one was in the building. Well, there was one teacher in the building, but she got out at the time that it collapsed. And an hour earlier, it would have been full of children who would have stayed inside during a storm. They would not have been outside. So we're just really thankful to God for the timing. But the kids gathered the next morning. I walked out there the next morning, and you're going too fast. Or no, he's going too fast, yeah. And I'm like, who's doing this? And they demolished the building, took it all apart, put everything in piles, and then we've reused most of it to rebuild the same structure, just new beams. You know, the parts that collapsed and broke, we've replaced. And our goal in the future, we're trying to raise funds to build permanent structures that the wind is not going to totally take out next time, so that they're in safe buildings, and also so that they can have the experience of going to school in an amazing, strong, real school building. So you can go on to the next one. Thank you. Mercy Ministry is, so the school is part of our Mercy Ministry, but Mercy Ministry is just how can we show the mercy of Jesus to these people. And I originally came to Togo because of midwifery, so I was coming to work in a clinic where we deliver babies and we're with laboring moms, and also saw sick people. And so I did that for the first 2-3 years. And then we've just slowly lost staff to be able to do that. So we haven't had enough staff to keep the maternity part open. And then COVID hit, and we lost more staff, and we didn't have a facility that was big enough to, like, isolate people, and so we ended up having to close our clinic during that time and are not able to reopen it.
But people can still come to your house. They don't care where you live.
People still find me. So there was a little boy who was cutting with a machete the grass, and he macheted his leg. And it wasn't severe, but I was trying to clean it. He probably should have had stitches, but we didn't know if they would actually do the stitching part and follow through. So I cleaned it. So he would come to our house and I would clean it. And it took me weeks to get that thing to close up. But thanks to prayer and messaging a friend from the States on, help, what do I do? it healed. And he's good. So his name was Samuel. And he was very faithful and diligent, actually. Yeah. And it gave me a passion, actually, to teach in the school's wound care and other health topics. Because as I was cleaning his wound, there was like 15 kids watching me. And I realized, I'm teaching them. We're cleaning it with clean water. We're putting clean bandages on sanitizing it and all of that. And I realized that many of them have a general idea, but we see a lot of infected wounds. So I now have a passion to teach things that can give them basic skills to keep themselves healthy. So you can go to the next one. And I can share this one too. So we have another ministry called Justice Water that we have people from our base running, where we go to villages. We try to find the worst villages within probably a 2-3 hour radius of our campus who don't have access to clean water. So the one picture, that's the water they had, the brown water, and then now they have clear water. So for many people, right now we're working for a village that they literally either take from like a pond where the cattle drink from, where everyone washes their clothes in, or they drink from a hole in the ground where water collects. So there's a lot of disease because of this. There's a lot of missed kids not going to school because they're sick, or kids not going to school because they're hauling water. We experience a little bit of lack of water there just because no electricity to pump the water sometimes. And it drives me crazy. And then I look out the window and there's some kid carrying a tank of water on their head, and I get reminded that I need to just be thankful. So that's another ministry that we get to do and be a part of. Next page. Next one is fine. Okay, hand it back over to you.
Thank you. So God wants to fill the earth with his glory. And the question here is, what role can we play? What can we do together for that to happen? What do you think we can do together? What will be your role? What will be my role? Because don't tell me that you were saved just to come and sleep on your bed in the church. You have something to do, right? God wants us to work as the body of Christ. So you have a role to play. And this is what God said, yeah. So
you can do the next slide. Thank you.
Can you read that, please?
Yeah. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Habakkuk 2:14. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved.'" He's spelling in French, sorry.
Mark.
"Go therefore and disciple all nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you," in Matthew 28:19-20.
So God really wants to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. He wants people to know him. He wants people to come into the kingdom of God. He wants people to have access to education. He wants people to feel love. So the question is, what are we going to do? What is my role? What is your role, you know? And he also gave this great commission that we all know about. We have to go, right? I have the sense that sometimes in the church, the only thing people know is to stay. They don't go. Do you guys go here? He say, go. Move, do a step, go somewhere, right? So like, maybe is it 1 week? I was in Costa Rica. 1 week.
2 weeks.
2 weeks ago, I was in Costa Rica, and yeah, many people here, they want to hear about the good news, and there are people who are homeless. So we took one day to build 3 houses. Can you believe that? And paint it. So sorry, I didn't put a photo, but I have it in my phone. So God wants, this is part of the good news, right? He wants people to have access to healthcare. He wants people to know that there is a God who made heaven and earth. So, and he said, go, preach and teach. So what will be my role? What will be your role? So we need to ask this question. What do you, God, want me to do about this? What do you want me to do? I'm happy I'm safe. I'm happy I'm your child. I'm your son, your daughter. But what do you want me to do? So, and we are earnest people of God, right? So something we can do is that we need to preach the gospel. So now the question, what is the last time that you preached the gospel to someone? When is the last time? What's that last time? Is it 3 days ago or this week? You know? So because God wants us to share the good news, the gospel, preaching, talking about him with our character, with our word, everything we have. So when is the last time, you know? I sometimes, you see some believer, they say, oh, I think that's 6 months ago. Really? Or 3 months. When is the last time that I shared the good news with someone, you know? So if God wants to fill the earth, but he wants to use you, he wants to use me, he wants to use us as his body to bring the good news to the end of the earth. So if I'm not able to share with my neighbor, even if you are working, some people say, oh, that's missionary jobs or pastor jobs or evangelist job. No, all of us. So even where you are working, when is the last time that you share the gospel with your co-worker? When is it? Because God's expecting every time, every day when you wake up, it's like, oh, what is my son, what is my daughter going to do today again? You know? Yeah, I'm sure you know you should eat breakfast and eat lunch. That's good. But when you go to job and when you see people, when you go shopping, when you go wherever you will be, when is how do you share the good news? So he wants us to preach the good news. And you don't need a training to preach the good news, do you? Do we need trainings? Yeah, we do need some training, but we don't always need training. You can share what happened in your life with someone, right? How did Jesus change your life? Or maybe you will tell me, Jesus never changed my life. Well, then you will give your life to Christ this morning. So, but if he did, then you need to share about it. So one way is to preach the gospel, to preach the good news. And it's not only in our house, it's not only in our nation, it's everywhere. God's concern is, oh, I know that group of people, they never heard about me. I need people to go there. Even churches can organize missionary trips, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go for 1 week or for, I don't know, 1 month and serve and come back. That's possible. So we can do that by preaching the good news. And if we want to do that, we need to be aware that we will pay the price. Mm-hmm. Some people, they don't preach because they are ashamed. Paul say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Some people, they don't preach because they don't want to die. Right? Yeah, literally they don't want to die. So I went in a country that was Chad, a Muslim country, and they were doing corruption, and I was bringing the good news, and I say, I'm not doing corruption. And in those days, they were able to shoot you in your head. So they have guns, and I was there with guns. And actually, in that very place, when I was, they buried some pastor alive because, yeah, the pastor was sharing the good news. But yeah, we will die. We need to be ready to pay the price. I'm not afraid to go to Iraq or wherever it is to share the good news, you know. But I think we are so comfortable here in the U.S., just going to Walmart or going shopping. And so you are even afraid to just speak. Oh, if I speak about this, no, they will say I'm against the genders. I'm against this. We need to share the good news and get out. God say, get out from your comfort zone. And share the good news. Talk about me. Do you love me? Yes, you love me. So share. Talk about me to someone. Yeah. You know? You want to add to that? Go ahead.
Just, a couple weeks ago, I ended up leading the youth at our church unexpectedly. But I was talking to three young girls, and I asked them, how many people in your school, how many of your peers do you think have heard that there's a God who made them and loves them and wants to have a relationship with them? And they said, heard or believe? I said, well, give me both. And they said, well, I think maybe 50% have heard. I think maybe 10% believe. And guys, that means 50% of our young people in our schools have not heard. And I think her statistics are correct, looking at what we're seeing. So the mission field is here. The mission field is everywhere. Some of us are going, but we're all called to wherever God has us right now. And there's a whole lot of missionaries right here in America who can reach that 50%. Well, actually, let's say reach that 90%, because 50% have heard but don't believe. So we need to reach 90%, and we're here. So just to add to,
yeah,
the mission field is here. It's
right.
Everywhere.
We also need to teach. Mm-hmm. So when we preach the good news, then we need to disciple. We need to teach the word of God. It's not only preaching, oh, goodbye, thank you. But you preach, you come back, and you teach the people how to read the Bible, how to know more about God, things like that, you know, and not only inviting. There may be time that it will be difficult for us to come to a gathering like this. There are many countries that they cannot gather like this officially. Do you know that? Many countries in the world. But God wants us to teach. So one way also to reach, to play a role by preaching the good news is intercession. How many people like to intercede here? I remember that at one point God was saying, I'm just looking for one person who will stand on the gap. And God said, I don't find that person. So, why? Because people were praying, the nation of Israel, they were praying like us. We pray today. When we pray today, what do we pray the most about? God, please give me my new car. God, please, my house. God, please. You know, their prayer was just about what they want, not about what God wants. Are we together? So when we pray, when is the last time that you pray for a nation that is not the U.S.? When is the last time? When you pray for an unreached group, do you even know the group of people that does not have the Bible in their mother tongue language? Do you know them? Do you know the people who never heard about Jesus? Are you concerned? God is concerned about that. That's break his heart. So God wants people to stand on the gap and pray. And pray. You know? And when we pray, I remember I was leading a DTS and we were spending every Thursday, we were fasting and praying for one nation that we don't know about. So, and one week we were praying for, how do you call that? North Korea. And then there was a student who said, God, show me this family that right now they are going through this. We need to pray for their protection. That was amazing. She's never been in Korea. But we are praying. And then God speak to her about a family who is going through a hard time. Pray specifically about it. And we did. So when we pray, we are working with God for his will to be done, for his glory to fill the earth. Okay? And prayer is more than our needs. It's hearing what is in God's heart. When is the last time that you heard about something God was telling you? You know, I know many people have feelings, but I'm not only talking about feelings, but I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. So God speak to you specifically about something. So we need to cultivate that if we want to work with God in the Great Commission. Are we together? You want to add in that?
No, you're fine.
I'm fine? Okay. Thank you. I'm safe. So, God really wants us to keep praying and working with him. So, one way also is also the financial support. God wants us to use all our resources that he gave us to accomplish his will. Wherever. So we need to hear from his voice. We need to use what he gives us. Okay? And there is what we call a general calling, but there is also a specific calling. Everyone here in this church have a specific calling. We all have, all together, the general calling. Go and preach the good news. So I don't need an angel to come and tell me this morning, okay, you can preach today. Whenever I can preach, I will preach. Right? I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I'm ready for every season. Okay? Even in the plane, even in the car, even shopping, wherever. So, our general calling, we have to disciple the nations, right? But the specific calling is about the gifting and everything God gives you to do something specific. It's like the soccer team. Do you know the football team? When I call football, it's not. It's what people play with
soccer,
leg, not hand.
Soccer.
Are we together? So in the team, even if you are a goalkeeper, you can still score a goal, right? Even if you are a defender, you can still score. But even if you can score, you are the goalkeeper. Are we together? You are the defender. You are the striker. You are the wind. So everybody has something to play in the house of, a role to play in the house of God. And you need to know that. You need to know that. Ask God. And people can see it in you. People can share that up with you also. So we have this specific calling, you know, and we are all called to do something in the house of God. So when God saved me, one of my prayers was, God, what do you want me to do in your house specifically? I was already preaching and teaching, but do you have something specific that you want me to focus on it? And I'm gifted for it most of the time. You want me to focus. And God spoke to me many times. He sent a word in my heart. He gave me a vision. You know, he gave me many dreams. And he used people to speak into my life also. And And I knew I was called to teach the word of God everywhere I will go. And God said, I will send you into many nations. And many people, they were like, how can you go into nation? Because in my family, no one went out from our country. And now 1 year, God said, now I'm sending you into India. And God did. He sent me into India. I went there. And now God said, I'm sending you to Chad. I went to Chad. God said, I'm sending you to here. And then I went there, you know. So, but you have something specific. And we also need to train our children that they have a role to play in the house of God. When you start talking to them about that, now, when they will get big, they will not forget about it. Are we together? So we have something to do all together. So what you do with your time matters to God, right? This we are spending this time, this century, we are going through the time of where our phone wants to steal most of our times. Our phone, the media, and everything. But what I do with my time matters to God. Do I spend more time on my phone with the media than interceding for a nation? You know, that matter for God. You know, I'm not saying using phone is bad. It's good. I also use phone. I like it. But how do I spend my time every day? That matter for God. Okay? What we do with all the resources and the finances that God entrusted us with matter to Him. Okay? So that's matter to God. What we do with all our gifting. Now, some people, they are in the church. They never know their gift until they stand up. They go outside to preach. Do you know that? You can spend time in your room. Lord, what is my gift? What is my gift in your house? But you need to stand up and start serving. And then maybe you will discover. Are we together? It's most of the time in the church, when I pray for people, I don't see a lot of miracle like when I go outside there. We go outside there, we see people raising from dead. We see people who are demon possessed who are free. We see people we see people that Jesus is setting free. But most of the time in the church, people are like this. They don't. But we need to go out. So if you stand up and you start serving in your job site with your neighbor, everywhere, then maybe you will start saying that, oh, God gave me this gift, you know? Because there's someone was saying, God likes to move with people who move. If you don't like to move, then you will stay there and waiting. But God wants to work with you. Are we together? Mm-hmm. So
let me share one last thing and then we can end with this.
Okay, you can share one.
Okay. So this morning, when I was up at 5:30 with the baby, I really felt like the Lord started speaking to me for this church, for you guys here this morning, that you guys know a lot of this already. You know that you're called to have a role in preaching the gospel. You know that that's God's heart for you. But many times we maybe start a little and I was remembering in Revelation, it says that the enemy is after those who follow Christ, basically. He's waged war with us. And the enemy does not like us sharing. He does not like us starting to step out into what God wants us to do. And so he tries to stop us. Maybe he begins to make us think thoughts of being guilty or shame or not having any right to share. Like, how can I share? Look at my life. When what God's wanting us to do is dig deeper, let God work in our lives, and from that share. But we let ourselves get stopped at maybe we're fearful, maybe there's just so much going on, there's sickness, there's all kinds of things. There's legitimate things going on that are overwhelming. And so those things overwhelm us, and we don't take the time or energy to move beyond those and really be able to share the Lord with people and do what he's calling us to do. And I just really felt like God was saying, there's a scripture in Revelation, and in my other Bible I can find it because I know where it is on what side of the page, but for some reason this morning I can't find it in this Bible. I'm terrible with numbers, but I can visually remember things. But it says that they overcame the devil by the by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. And those are, this morning, just the three things I wanted to leave us with. We can overcome the enemy and share the gospel and do whatever it is that God has called us to do by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has already done for us, by and not being our own doing, but it's being what Christ has done for us, by the word of our testimony, just speaking what he's done for us, speaking the truth of who he is, the truth of what his word says, and not loving our lives unto death. We're willing to give our lives for him. And honestly, sometimes it's easier to give your physical life for him than it is to give your daily life for him. He's talking about both. And so giving our lives to him, every part of our lives. So I just felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you. You guys are overcomers. Mm-hmm. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives unto death. And just felt like he wanted you guys to have that word this morning. So,
yeah. So,
do we want to end with the video?
Yeah, we found it. You find it in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17.
12,
and 17, yeah, okay. Both of them. So, we will end with this video, but also, I was sharing with my wife that I was praying for this nation, and I asked God, what do you want me to tell to your people when I go into, when they invite me to preach or to teach or when I talk with them? And God also said, you need to tell them that I'm calling them back to me because our nation is going far away from God. He said, I'm calling them back. And the first people to come back to me is my people, is the church. If the church does not know that, the nation will not come back to God. Coming back into repentance to God, you know, and focusing on what he wants us to do. You know, we are distracted by many things. So God is calling his people to come back to him in repentance. So we will share this video, and this is what we do as missionaries. It's a video from Lauren. Yeah. Is it coming?
Yeah, I do a little.
They say you hold on CTR.
Oops.
Showing up on this screen over here.
That is not what we wanted.
Can you come back on the display and just the link?
Weird.
The last link.
Sure, why the screen is green.
It's over here.
This here? Yeah, you have it here, not there.
I think I broke this one. Because it doesn't do anything.
Uh-oh. We can just all stand up and watch it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that. Can we just hear it?
Oh, it came back on this. Yeah. Huh? You watch it here.
So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone willing to say no to the status quo, no to the dream of wealth, leave their families to fly to a distant land, and learn a language they have never heard, ride in cramped buses on backs of camels, someone who would sleep anywhere, eat anything, bear the heat, and fight the freeze with a smile on their face. Just to take the gospel to a people not their own. So God created the missionary. God said, sowed the seed, to plow the ground, water the seed, and reap the harvest, which is ripe. Someone to go and train, to multiply the crops, and to answer the call and pay the price. So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone who is a radical servant of all, taking the lowliest job, washing the feet of the poor, caring for the sick, and cleaning their wounds. I need someone to visit the prisoner, care for the widow and the orphan, to sit in the dust with a child and tell them that they are loved. So God made a missionary. God said he needed someone who would believe that blind eyes could see and lame feet could walk and that the dead could live again. Someone who would pray long hours and intercede through the night with wordless groans of petition so that one soul might be saved. God said, I need someone honest and brave, full of grace, mercy, and compassion, free from fear and passivity, walking in true identity.
Okay, we can stop there. God created a missionary.
So thank you so much for sharing all of that. It was such a pleasure to have you and hear what you are doing over on the other side of the world. And thank you for the challenge for just asking us what is our role here, because we do have a role. As soon as he saves us, we're responsible to keep passing it on. So we have a basket up here, and if you would like to give to them, please do that. And I would encourage you to do cash, or if you don't have cash, write a personal check to them, if that's okay with you guys. Okay, I think that's all. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing this precious family to our church this morning. I just feel so blessed to be connected to what they are doing and how you have led them and how you have been faithful to them in providing their needs. And these ministries that they're investing in, I just pray over, Father. I pray over the water systems that they would, you would just pour funds in so that many, many more, exponentially more than they're expecting, can be, wells can be dug and people can have clean water so that they're not getting sick anymore, so that they're not hauling water all day long and missing education. Father, I know that it is your will that those people should have clean water, and that is your heart's cry. And there were so many other ministries mentioned. I just lift them all up to you, Father. I ask that you would pour out your favor on them and show them, give them success, and bring in more people to help as they have lost many due to many reasons, particularly COVID. Would you raise them up and bring in an army around them? I just commission angels to come around them and go with them as they've, I don't know how long they're going to be here in the United States, but I just ask that you would bless their travels and their connections, and that you would just wrap them in your love. I praise you for our brother and sister, and I ask that you would move in our hearts, that you would do something with us here in the States, that you would call our name like Samuel, and that we would hear you and say, here I am, Lord. Use me, send me. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I think you guys are dismissed. I hope that you are enjoying this beautiful weather. I think there's probably only a few weeks left of it. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.